everybody. How's it going?
Hello, hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Oh, hi.
Hey. Great.
So we have an extra voice with us tonight. A friend of ours, Jenny, is on with us.
Yay.
Oh, hey. Oh,
hi.
Hi. How you doing?
I am doing. How are you?
We're also doing.
And she's here to talk about my friend Noodle, and that's all.
That's right.
Oh, did you already have a Noodle conversation?
No.
Not yet, no.
Oh.
How's my buddy?
She's sleeping underneath my feet right now on her heaty pad.
Well, that seems very pleasant.
Oh, on her heating pad?
Yeah, she has her own heaty pad because reasons.
Oh, you should tell Max about Noodle's walks.
Oh, well, we've been going on walks twice a day for about a mile. She thinks that we're on a
squirrel
hunt.
That's a long way for a little dog.
It is not. So here, funny story about Jack Russell Terriers. I once read this newspaper article, and it was talking about the type of dog you should pick based on your activity levels.
Mm-hmm.
It would say, like, if you just want to go to the mailbox and back, you should get, like, a bulldog. But if you want to, like, run around the block a couple times, maybe a golden retriever. And if you want to, like, run a marathon, maybe a Vizsla. And at the very top, it said, if you want to hike the Blue Ridge Trail, you should get a Jack Russell. But this was after we had her. So I was like, well, oh, well, we're in it now.
Because they're you know, rabbit dogs. So they're very active and very fast.
Oh, yeah. She never stops.
But for them tiny little legs, a mile is like 10 miles in human distances.
And her, it's like 10 feet. We could do it 15 times a day and she'd never run out. Like, it's irrelevant.
Max is going to steal your dog.
No, we got the one. That's fine.
You can borrow her from time to time.
No, I just visit.
Oh, Oliver would love that.
They all
Oliver would love that. So, you know, Jenny is a friend of ours from the kink community, and she's polyamish, and she's a bisexual friend. She identifies as a service provider and also a dominant lady. And I like how she describes herself as a dominant lady with her longtime partner. And she's been involved with the community for about 20 years. Well, with BDSM for about 20 years, but on and off with the community for what, about 8 years, you'd say?
Yeah, like I think my first forays into the community were I was meeting folks in real life 20 years ago, but it was through like Yahoo and IRC and
right
things like that.
Oh, back in the day.
What's is that Internet Relay Chat?
Internet Relay
IRC
Chat.
Is?
Yeah.
It's very similar to our new Pod Cultcast community. Dicumity. That's a whole different thing. Which is at podcultcast.com/community and hang out with us.
Oh,
I'm in there.
On Discord.
Was that said?
You're there right now.
You're there right now. Yeah.
Well, I'm not like in there interacting with you right now. I thought that'd be weird. I like
that's not weird.
And also talk to you.
That's not that weird.
Hannah, intro.
Oh, no, that's me.
No, Eric's introing.
Eric, intro.
Welcome to the Pod Cultcast, where we talk about life, love, learning, and libido, and share our journey through polyamory. I am Eric.
I'm Max.
I'm Hannah.
I'm Chasten.
I'm Jenny.
Yay!
Oh my god, I did the thing! I'm in.
Yay! How did that feel?
Hey, you didn't pause long enough to wait for someone else to talk.
Or to see if I was going to use one of my pseudonyms. Oh. Hey, in the bio, did you say polyamish?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Are you surprised by that definition? Or
well, I mean, I haven't heard the definition yet, but no, I'm not surprised by it at all. It kind of makes sense from what I know of you, but also I was sort of surprised by the word. That's all.
Oh, yes.
Do you want to give a definition to what that means to you?
I don't know. Like, we're in theory polyamorous. We're just not actively right now.
Right. Okay.
So
I mean, like, monogamish kind of has a specific meaning. I didn't know if that had a specific meaning to you. That's all.
I don't think it has a specific definition.
It's just on what pole you put up that flag.
Yes. And that's where we're at today. So.
All right.
It's kind of creepy. I didn't know it was creepy.
Excellent podcasting. You know. No, I'm kidding. So Jenny and I have something in common. We are both dominant ladies, and we also both really love service. And she and I taught a class. When was that?
God, like 2 years ago? It was a while ago.
18,000 moons ago, because now time doesn't mean anything. We taught a class about service, and we did tea service, right?
Yes.
We're both really passionate about service and the fact that service doesn't necessarily mean submissive. And on our last episode, this came up when we were talking about, what did we talk about last episode? I don't even remember.
The difference between acts that are explicitly
yes,
topping or dominant or bottoming or submissive.
Right. Right.
And how those roles are so easily flipped.
Right.
Yes. So, yeah, and what we sort of make assumptions about societally and so forth. Now I remember. Thank you. So, Jenny, how do you define service for yourself?
In this context, service is just an intentional activity that has meaning behind it, I suppose. And that's like the most generic definition I could possibly give.
What would that entail? So what kind of things would that be?
Well, it can be anything, really. It's what two people discuss and decide on. If that thing has meaning to them and they decide to call that service, then now that's service. So okay. It can be anything from body worship or getting someone a drink at a party to handling all the household bills. Like, it's anything. Anything.
Okay. So right now, you're on our podcast, and we negotiated that beforehand, right? Mm-hmm. So this could be service?
It could, I think, if we had had that discussion and that was the intent behind it.
Okay.
But I am not doing this for you. I'm doing it for me.
Right.
Well, what the hell are you getting out of it?
Wait, does that mean that we're servicing?
Oh. Oh, no.
I mean, possibly you could be providing a service to the greater polyamorous community. I mean, you are.
Yeah, we're already into like lingo and terms and stuff, and we haven't disclaimed. Ooh, so Hannah should,
my bad.
Should
yeah. disclaim. This is a podcast where we express our opinions about love and relationships, sex and kink, polyamory, and LGBTQ issues, and whatever else comes up. While we talk about these things, we may also touch on stuff like violence, abuse, and mental health challenges. These can be difficult topics, so keep that in mind moving ahead.
So when we're talking about service and we're talking about what we're getting out of it, it sounds like we have to have a goal in mind. So when you think about service for you, what kind of goals do you like to have in mind when you're thinking about service in your life? So, for example, if this podcast is something that is a service, what are we providing as a service? I guess our goal would be to educate. That's the service we provide, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pod, sure. Weigh in.
Yeah.
And entertain.
And entertain. To provide comedic relief. No. Yeah. So what about you, Jenny? What do you think that with service in your life that you either enjoy receiving or that you enjoy giving? What are some goals or types of service that have goals attached?
My brain is like fireworks right now with so many different examples.
Okay. Well, yeah, just like
it could be like your goal could be the pleasure of the person that you're with. The goal could be to make your little community a better place to live in, whether it's your kinky community or just your regular vanilla community. It's anything from something really specific to something really broad. I think a lot of what people talk about in the kink community in terms of service is to provide pleasure to the person you're doing it for, is why you would do it. And that's like a really broad term, but it could be, you know, you're making them have a better day because you're giving them a massage and helping them relax. Or maybe you're talking about the skills you learn to do that. That can be a service. And the goal is still to make a pleasurable experience for your partner.
And we, last time we were talking about, you know, the implicit topping and bottoming, dominance and submission stuff, like we were talking about service topping, and sometimes that service isn't to provide pleasure, it's to beat the hell out of somebody if they want, right? Like, it can also be to provide pain if that's something they're looking for out of an experience. That can also be service.
Yes. When I'm saying pleasure, maybe it's a bad word for it.
No, I don't think it's a bad word. I think maybe it's giving somebody what they want, maybe.
Yes.
Right.
Fulfilling a need.
Mm-hmm. Probably fulfilling a need is the best way.
Yeah, so this is jumping around a little bit and probably would get into it later anyway, but do you find that for you personally, it's not just about capital R relationships or kink stuff or whatever? Like, do you find yourself being like a service kind of person in your work life and in your relationships with like family of origin and that kind of stuff too?
Oh, absolutely. Like, it ebbs and flows. Just like every other sort of identity that you have in life. Definitely at work, I'm the helpful person, you know, and the one who has become the go-to for certain things because I learned how to do a whole lot of things so that I could be useful. And for me, providing service fulfills a need within me to be useful, whether that's at work or in my personal relationship.
Yeah, I have a lot of the same stuff, like in my construction, my particular little piece of construction where I had a apprenticeship. There are a lot of things about apprenticeships that are weirdly like DS relationships. But one of them is service. Like, you always kind of provide service to your master and to the older guys on the job and mm-hmm. the guys that you learn stuff to. So I kind of found that parallel for myself too. When we really got into kink community and kink identity stuff, I found that like I was cleaning other guys' tools because that's just the kind of person I am. Also related to, you know, doing scenes for people because I enjoy that kind of service also.
Did you enjoy cleaning tools for other folks?
Or was I just find it as a matter of like...
No, I mean, it's a legitimate question, right?
No, I don't particularly enjoy, but I find it as a matter of respect for guys that like have taught me to do what I do and, you know,
it's sort of like, hey man, let me get that for you.
Well, so it was a, I mean, I can talk about this for a long time, but, no, it was definitely a part of my apprenticeship that, was just expected that at the end of the day, you clean your tools and you also clean your master's tools. That's well, just...
Doesn't it also help you, like, learn how to clean tools really well?
Well, it impresses upon you the need for taking care of your things,
right?
And you learn how important that is for both the longevity and the ease of use of your tools and stuff. And there's a thing that I note in young guys that I see on the job who didn't actually serve real apprenticeships, who just, like, worked for their dad or whatever.
Right.
Where they don't understand the sort of like nuances of those kinds of responsibilities and what's just like polite, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can second that, all of that. Having also done an apprenticeship, that was like half of it. It wasn't just the trade you were learning. It was how to do the trade you were learning, you know?
Right. And the respect for people who had been there and done it and taught you the things so that you could teach the next people the things, right?
Yeah, because that's what your next step was to bring along the newer crop.
Right.
So it sounds like that type of service also relates to someone who's in a position of authority over you.
Definitely, yeah.
Which is not the only way, but a way we often see service expressed, right? You're paying a special type of attention to the needs of somebody who... is in authority.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to do kind of a quick round robin because we've already heard from now Eric and Jenny and Max about feeling sort of a in your professional lives and personal lives that aren't necessarily in a kink or sexual space about having sort of a service-oriented mind or personality. Hannah, this is something that you and I have talked about on the podcast before, mm-hmm. but just for the listeners now, can you talk briefly about how your relationship with service in your life in a vanilla sense?
Sure. Yeah, I would definitely agree with that impulse to like make my time at work, whatever that job has been, you know, really focused and helpful and focused on others. And, you know, the customer service aspect of any job is always where my attention is naturally drawn. But that really has been like a lifelong thing, honestly, since I was growing up. To like literally follow in somebody's footsteps is really satisfying, and just to give sort of undivided attention and try to like focus my skills onto somebody else's goals, which is a thing that could get you into trouble in life, I'm sure. But, but it's also been a real asset, you know, in life, in relationships, and in the workplace to okay. say, like, I am here and I'm getting satisfaction out of serving a group or serving the goal of this situation, as opposed to maybe serving myself or trying to gain my own advantage out of a situation.
Yeah, I identify with that really strongly. You know, in my quote unquote corporate upbringing, it mm-hmm. was, you know, don't ever say no to an opportunity because you don't know when that opportunity will come by again. Mm-hmm. And so I was always saying yes. And if I couldn't handle the workload, I would find a way to delegate it. But I enjoyed being a support person. And in my personal life, I enjoy being a support person. I enjoy serving my family and my house. And I enjoy serving my, you know, like community and workload and like all of it in creative ways. And I find it challenging. And I find that like it allows me to use all my talent and skills in very interesting ways. And so like it's definitely just a part of my personality. And so I think that like it sounds like all of us have that as just part of who we are. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it comes from upbringing or the, you know, communities in which we were raised, or I don't know, but it sounds like all of us have that in us, and then we bring that into the relationships that we are entering into and the dynamics that we're entering into as people. Jenny, would you say that that's true for you?
What, that it's based on my upbringing, or that?
Or that just like throughout your life, that it's really something that has been a theme in your life, that it's always been something that you've enjoyed.
Oh, absolutely. So I listened to y'all's podcast last week, and I believe one of the things Hannah said was that when she first came into the community, she wanted to have things done to her, so she thought that she was submissive. Mm-hmm. Then when someone told her what to wear, she's like, nah, you can go fuck yourself.
Yep.
So similarly, when I first got into the community, I wanted to be, and like even for like even 20 years ago, I thought I had to be a submissive because I wanted to be the one doing stuff for people. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until I heard the term service submissive that I finally identified with something wholeheartedly, because, and then later I listened to some other folks speak on it, and they used the term service provider because I'm not necessarily submissive. And that's why I've held on to that label mm-hmm. for myself. So to answer your question, yes. Is where I was going with that.
Yeah, I really like the orientation service provider. I've always considered myself service oriented. You know, I'm a service oriented top. I'm a service oriented dom. So, you know, I think service provider is a great way to shape that. So thank you for bringing that into my lexicon.
Oh, yes. I think there's like there's people that think that labels don't matter, and there's people that think they do. And I think that labels are really important to yourself personally, but that it's important to make sure that you have the same definition of as everyone around me, so they understand what you're saying when you hold on to that label.
Yeah, we agree. We agree. And I think, you know, I think you and I were at the same meeting when we heard somebody talk about the importance of like speaking from the same dictionary.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I think it's particularly in the kink world. Like I think it's a world where we tend to respect labels more than otherwise, right? Like it's just part of the whole thing, whether it is dom or submissive or service or whatever, you know, we tend to say, like, we really need these words, we really need these labels so everybody knows how to relate to each other and what's going on.
So, interestingly enough, I think that in our, maybe it's just our local community, because I don't have a lot of experience with other local communities, but there is a definite difference between labels in online communities that are spaces that I've been exploring recently and real life communities. So that's why I say now it's important that everybody has the same definition, because I think that all of us have the same definition for a lot of words, but it may be because we grew up in this community.
Can you expound on that or give a example or something?
For me, I thought that it was common knowledge that a top was a doer and a bottom was a receiver.
Right.
And a dominant was a person in charge in a relationship, and a submissive was a person in charge or a person not in charge in relationship.
Right. Who gives
but,
up.
Yes. But that is not common lexicon online. They kind of use dominant for everything. Whether you're in charge in a relationship or dominant in the bedroom or dominant in the scene, like I've seen it used a lot that way.
Right. And I mean, this is kind of wild speculation, but do you think it is just because it's people who don't actually interact in the real world and they can just sort of use words willy-nilly without any relation to...
No, perhaps it's because the people that I interact with now are not from the same real life space as we are, and they're from different places in the world. So it could be a language thing, because perhaps not everyone speaks English as fluently as we do, but it also could just be maybe that's what it was like for them growing up in their kink community, and so that's how those words are used. But I do think there's definitely some folks that are just new and don't know too. So
yeah, I think it's safe to say that on the internet, a lot of people just misuse terms.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Eric is our resident label denier. not label denier.
Label truther.
Label truther.
Label truther. I like Nora. This.
Label crisis actor.
I don't know what to say. Our label something or other. But yeah, Eric, you don't subscribe to labels for yourself, really. You're just you. And you're also newer to the world of kink in terms of exposure. So.
But not in terms of exposing himself.
But not in terms of exposing
you.
Not usually, no. No, I don't subscribe as much to the importance of labels, because that makes them inherently more rigid or at the very least less fluid, less subject to change. And through that inherent rigidity, people can put too much stock into that and not see that a different label can actually be the exact same thing, which is right. Kind of what you were saying already. The context is more important to me than the label itself. That's, I think, the most succinct way that I know how to say that.
No, I agree with that.
I wish I could remember where I read, but it's been years ago now and I haven't come across it again. I was reading an article that was talking about how in the business world, for a long time, we really had two labels. It was leaders and followers, and you want to be a leader mm-hmm. because that's how you succeed in business. Mm-hmm. And this article was saying, actually, there's a third group of people that we don't have a name for, who are people who just rise to the moment, right? If there's a gap in leadership, they step forward. And then when a better leader comes along, they easily relinquish that role.
Bottoms.
They're switches. This is switch. It's like a crucial part of a stable organization. And it just brought me so much joy. I think of that like at least once a week. I want to be that person.
I mean, you know, in baseball, we call that a utility infielder. Yeah. Or, you know, there are terms for that, but they're not agreed on. I think
my interest industry, apparently we call it me.
Oh,
because there's shortfalls on both sides,
Eric.
And I tend to have to fill those gaps.
I mean,
you fill that gap well.
You know, just. Ow. Just while we're talking about terminology, and then we can just go back to talking about service and stuff. But while we're talking about terminology, I think that like the only place where there is a rigidly defined rule of what all terms mean is religion, right? Because we've had, you know, several thousand years of universities and scholars and people in leadership saying these are what these things mean, and we all have to agree on them, and that's what they mean, and that's the end of it. And anything else in the world, whether it's business,
you mean, or Western religion?
No, also, Eastern religion has the same thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
But like
religion
but
is a concept.
Anything else in the world, whether it's business or kink or whatever,
kinky
like
business.
All you have is like kinky business. Yes, like all you have is people writing books and saying this is what I think it means, or small groups of people getting together and saying this is what we think it means. Mm-hmm. Like you don't have an international like body that rules on this is what this word means and that what it will mean for the next 2,000 years. You know,
yeah.
So yeah, I mean, all terms are sort of fungible, not just in the kink world, but in all worlds, really. And I'm going to go let the dog out.
Who let the dog out?
Max.
I will.
Max. Thank you. So, brief.
It's no longer brief if you say brief nine times.
That wasn't nine times. Off topic. So people who are in any way involved in legal sex work, so camming, sex coaching, anything that could be considered lewd, are not able to apply for any kind of small business loans. So if they're you know, independent contractors and things like that. Like some states are allowing them to apply for unemployment right now, but they're not allowed to, they can't qualify for any of the small business loans that are being given out by the government right now because of some conditions in there that say that they are not giving money to anybody who does anything dirty. That sucks, right?
Boom.
Yeah. Makes me sad. So. That was it. That's all I had to say about that. Just as an aside to nothing. So, what kinds of service do you specifically enjoy? Like, what's your favorite sort of service? Like, if you had your druthers right now, what would you be doing?
So, well, to receive service, I really like body service. And that's like a general term for those that don't know about just like body care for someone
mm-hmm.
else.
Mm-hmm.
So I really like having, like taking a bath and having someone brush my hair and put lotion on me and that sort of thing. I find it really connecting.
Mm-hmm. It's very intimate.
Yes.
And there's a lot of trust involved with that.
Yes, very much. And it's personal and it's
open
personal because my body, I am not an exhibitionist. So my body is for me and my partner, and that's it. So if I allow them access to that, that's really special to me.
Yeah, that is special.
In terms of providing service, like I think maybe the broadest term would be like a maid, but that means like a housekeeper, but maybe also a lady's maid.
Mm-hmm.
That's been my thing lately.
Mm-hmm.
Is.
What now?
Yeah,
a lady's maid.
Lady's maid. What is
so. It would be like, for example, if y'all were hosting a party and I came over and did Chastin's hair and her makeup and helped her get dressed and put her shoes on and, you know, make sure throughout the night that she's presentable and that sort of thing.
Gotcha.
Like that, like really gets my motor going.
Is that also what a lady in waiting was?
No, those are.
I think a lady in waiting that tended to you at functions, but perhaps, well, maybe they did get you ready.
So sometimes ladies' maids were chosen from lesser royalty, and it was considered a like an honor to be chosen and to be able to attend at court to get to dress royalty and
hear their secrets and be their companion.
Exactly, and wipe their bottoms and things like that.
Yes, that was, I'm not wiping anybody's bottom.
Right, right.
No, ma'am.
Right. Yeah, it's sort of like having a personal secretary in the Edwardian sense of the word, not the 60s skirt chasing sense of the word.
Correct.
Okay. Hi, it's Chasten from the Pod Cultcast. If you love listening to the podcast, if you're having a good time right now, we encourage you to check out our Patreon. Visit our website, podpodcultcast.com/supportthepod. Find out everything you need to know about our membership levels, about our community that's brand new, where you can come and chat with us and live events with us while we're recording, all kinds of cool things. In addition to an exclusive podcast where we talk about polyamory and kink in music, movies, books, you name it. Even if it's not actually about polyamory or kink, we'll try to find a way to make it so. We have a good time. We want our patrons to have a good time. Special thanks to our patrons for supporting this show. Our patrons make our website, our hosting, everything possible. So if you like what you hear, enjoy what we do, please consider supporting us so that we can keep this podcast fabulous, fun, and going for you. Again, that's podpodcultcast.com/supportthepod. I'll let you get back to the show.
Yeah, when I provide service for folks, it's always because I'm a little bit in love with them, if that makes sense. And it's not even like, and I don't mean like they're my partner and I know 100% about them and I'm in love with them as a person. It could be that I'm in love with the idea of them or what they represent in that moment, because I have to have some sort of connection with someone in order to feel satisfaction from doing it. Otherwise, it's just work to me. You know, I think it's the difference between maybe doing something at work for someone that I really respected versus doing customer service because it's part of my job and I'm obligated to be nice to somebody. Mm-hmm. That's what the difference is for me, is that I need to care about the person at least a little bit in order to want to do it.
So that connection could be like just for that event, maybe.
Yes.
But it's something different than, like, I got paid to be here.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I've
cleaned houses for money, and I've cleaned houses for free, and it was much more meaningful when I was doing it for someone for free in, mm-hmm. like, in a servicey kind of way than it being just transactional.
And I imagine that just, like, in your everyday cleaning your own house... That's not necessarily
the
same thing.
Do not receive joy. No.
So you're saying you're not just somebody who loves chores or loves work so much.
But what I'm hearing, Jenny, is that you're not in love with yourself. How can we change this?
Actually, you just queued me up for where I was going to left turn this whole conversation.
Oh.
Eric. Because tell us, have you fallen in love with yourself? Do you receive satisfaction from...
Well, actually, in a lot of the ways that I look at this sort of thing, be it... I'll start out with the framework of work.
Okay.
Yes, it's a job. Yes, I'm getting paid for it.
Yes.
But the pride that I take in the work that I do... the appreciation of that work is the point of the service to me. Meaning, it's when said service is performed and it is greatly appreciated, that is 100% an ego trip for me. The taking pride in the services rendered and the thorough satisfaction therein that I dig on.
Mm-hmm. It's a place of like where your motivation is coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And how many times would you say that you're servicing yourself daily?
I didn't say that at all. I didn't take it that way.
I'm kidding.
Eric, I'm really excited that you said that actually, because something that I always say when I'm talking about service is that I don't think that service has to necessarily be altruistic. And that it's okay and expected to want something in return for doing it. And what I want is praise. I want someone to acknowledge that I did the thing. So I'm completely on the same page as you.
Mm-hmm.
So that said, so we've talked a little bit about what service is. We've talked a little bit about some different forms of service. you know, ideas of what service could be. So if you were talking to the listener at home and they were interested in getting started with service and they were identifying with things they were hearing on the podcast right now, how would you recommend they get started with doing this with a partner or doing this with a somebody that they have a play relationship with or a power dynamic relationship with?
Well, first thing, you would talk to your partner.
Yay!
If we're all adults and we communicate with one another.
Yay!
But I mean, it could start off as something you wanted to like set up a temporary scene. I'm making air quotes. Where you say, hey, I listened to this podcast with these fabulous people and they were talking about service. And I heard.
What is the name of that podcast?
It's called Punk Cultcast. Cult with a V. Sorry.
Yay!
But I heard one of them talk about how cleaning their house could be service. And in this scenario, now I'm a guy that wants to look like a cute French maid. So perhaps we wanted to try this out. And I would clean the house for you. So you, of course, like want to set something up so it's not just you're cleaning the house for someone, because that's super boring. But you'd want to talk about what you would be willing to do for some, what you're, for your partner, and what they are expecting to receive out of that situation,
mm-hmm.
and like what sort of interaction you would want during it, or if you want any at all. And also, since it's a scene, you need to discuss what your limits would be and any aftercare you might want to do, and you would negotiate. I don't know if you guys have had a podcast on negotiation.
Not strictly, but it's definitely coming up. It's okay. Yeah. We talked about it.
Talk to your partner about all the things.
Mm-hmm.
Tell them what you want to do and what you don't want to do. And then try it. Because the worst case scenario in this one is that you have a clean house and it brought you no joy, which it was going to do anyways. So
that's right. So the worst case is you've done something that you were already going to do and you felt the way that you were already going to feel about it,
yes.
is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, but you're just going to try and see if you can put some intention behind it,
yeah.
and get a different feeling.
I love that you said that, because one of the things that I'm passionate about is mindfulness. Part of mindfulness for me is developing rituals around the things that I do. And a ritual is only doing one mindful thing after the next. And if you are intentionally cleaning something, then you're just paying attention to what you're doing and focusing your intent into it, just like you said. So, you know, last week we were trying to encourage our listeners to try new things, and that might be a great way for our listeners to maybe incorporate a little bit of service into their play and stuff. That would be pretty cool,
yeah,
I think.
Sexy fun times.
Yeah, we like sexy fun times.
I know we're in a world where we're not introducing new partners and stuff right now,
mm-hmm.
but when we do eventually get to the place where we are meeting new people and doing new things, and if we just want to bail out on this because it's too fraught or whatever, that's fine too. But, you know, we've all had like negative experiences with servicey kind of relationships,
yes.
whether on the top or the bottom. Does anybody want to talk about a little bit about like how to safely find someone that you want to enter into a service relationship with and what to watch out for and, you know, how to be careful?
I can give an example of a situation I've had.
Sure.
In my long and I'll use your word again, fraught search for somebody to do service for me, because I like the ladies' maid scenario. I like to have somebody to brush my hair and to make my bed and tend my clothing and do some things about the house and whatnot. That's a thing that I enjoy greatly. I guess auditioned would be the best word, and just hasn't gone well, because typically the people who message me aren't reading the very, very bold, large font print that I am writing, and the very small, clear words that I am using that say not looking for any kind of sexual services or contact, just looking for somebody to do my dishes and be nice to me. But the because a lot of people unfortunately seem to misinterpret service as giving oral sex and not looking for oral sex. Like, I don't care if you want to do the dishes naked, that's fine. Like, however, whatever makes you happy. I just want to have the dishes done. And
wait, I could have been doing dishes naked this whole time?
Yes.
Yes.
You can be naked anytime you want to. Right now. But you're usually
over there.
Yes. Yes. Always naked all the time. However, moving forward, now I'm distracted.
I'm sorry.
So you were saying you don't want service on your hoo-ha.
But I don't want service on my hoo-ha. I have people for that. Hoo-ha. Thank you. Hoo-ha. person for that. Hello, Eric. So.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey.
But it was just a million different almost said references from the movie Scent of a Woman. But they never really surfaced.
But is that service, though? Like, when people come in with a mindset of, I have one thing that I want to do.
No, it's not.
No, let me give my service to you.
No,
and accept my service.
That's tapping from the bottom. And
that's somebody that wants to be serviced.
I disagree. It can be, though. Because you could have a very specific scenario that you're wanting to play out, and that's okay.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Now, if you're saying, like, I would like to be, you know, service a woman by putting my peen inside of her, then that's kind of weird. But, you know.
Right. Well, if somebody says I would like to orally service a lady and that's all I want to do and that I desire pleasure from it, that's great. However, that is not a type of service that I personally prefer to receive from people with whom I do not have an otherwise intimate relationship.
Well, just like in any other market, there has to be a market for that service.
There's usually not, just for the record.
There is a market for that service.
Yeah, but
very small.
There is a market for that service. I have a list of 6 people that I can think of right now who are looking for that service.
Sure.
And I could just message them and go like, hey, you know, like there's a dude in this town who's like ready for you. Unfortunately, pandemic, right? So
no, I just mean in the sense that you can't go advertising a marketable skill that's not leave it out, cut this part out.
The not joke didn't really not form. A proven skill.
It's just not your first go to.
You can't lead with the oral service.
It just seems like a scam too quickly.
Any other thoughts on what to watch out for, how to be safe
So to be safe, like just like any internet interaction, which is usually how you're going to do this, right. You know, and especially now, it's probably going to be an internet-based interaction. But if we do get out into the real world, I mean, use your FetLifes and your Tinders and your OKCs and your adult friend finders responsibly and vet people by, you know, talking to them first, negotiating first, asking for testing results first, maybe meeting them at in a public space first, once we're allowed to do that out in the world. I'm not going to keep putting that caveat on what I'm saying, but, you know, there are plenty of BDSM community events that you could meet somebody at. And if that person is somebody who is willing to be safe with you, then they will meet your requirements to be safe with them, if that makes sense.
Right. Like questions like asking about testing status and asking about their other relationships and how things go are often a good barometer just in how they respond to those sorts of questions. Over whether or not they feel like a safe person or feel like a person who has good intentions.
Yes. If somebody says something like, I don't have any pictures on this phone, chances are they're not for you. If somebody says something like, well, I don't discuss that until I meet somebody in person, chances are they're not for you. Like if somebody pushes back on simple questions or demands your name when you're not ready to give it to them, chances are they're not for you. Like, people often ask for my name, you know, hey, I'm Chasten, I'm on a podcast, right? Like, you can Google that, right? Like, and you could find out that I'm on this podcast, right? Like, that's a weird name. Yeah. So I'm not going to just give you my name because I have a weird name that's spelled in a weird way. And you
it
Google
is.
It.
My phone hates it.
I know, right? You should check out our show transcripts. It's spelled Justin, Chaston, Gaston. Who knows? Nobody podcasts like Gaston. Exactly. So, well, Eric, I have been trying to correct all of the Erics with a C, but I don't catch all of them. So,
I mean,
feel my pain.
I'm used to it. My fourth grade teacher never noticed the whole year.
And you still hold it against her.
I'm amazed that she could pronounce your name correctly.
Well, so if we're following, you know, basic safety and asking sensible questions and mm-hmm. demanding that we get sensible answers, have y'all also like sought out people who have specific skill sets?
Yes.
And how do you vet or maybe like even ask for references for people who have experience with different types of service?
Jenny.
So I'm thinking more of like an activity, like a top versus right. like a service person. Mm-hmm. But I like to bottom to specific edge play activities. And by edge play, I mean like, things that could get you in trouble medically, you know, like things mm-hmm. like that. But I have to find someone who's skilled in doing that in order to be safe for me, because otherwise I'm being stupid. So
literally not safe.
Literally not safe for me.
Physically unsafe.
Physically unsafe. So if I was trying to find someone to do that activity, I would see if they had photographs on their profile of what they have done, because I am educated enough in myself to be able to see a little bit. Like, I'm not going to answer every question, but I can answer some questions about what their photographs are and see if they've tagged someone as a bottom that I can ask. Mm-hmm. So ask for references. I would also probably watch them play at a party a couple mm-hmm. of times before I did anything with them for the first time. And I would also do like kind of a test the waters kind of thing first, instead of just going crazy head first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And in terms of service in particular, this might be going back more towards Matt's question, but something I always tell folks to do is first, as a service provider, you're allowed to have as many limits as you want. And mm-hmm. you don't have to do everything that the person is asking of you if you don't want to right. do it. But also, to negotiate within a box someone is allowed to play in, rather than say the things you won't do. So if you're only looking for a ladies' maid scenario, or to provide cigar service to someone, or to be a bootblack, or any of those other things that are kind of kinky, that you find someone who's willing to stay within that box.
Right.
And just do that.
That's right. Streamlined.
Yeah. And the same thing for if you're going to be a service receiver, you have to find someone who's willing to do the thing that you're looking for. And if they're ignoring that and only talking about things that make them happy, then why? What's in this for you? What are you doing?
Right. Precisely. Precisely. Yeah. Yeah. Great words. Good advice.
Mm-hmm. Yay, good words. Advice.
So, if service is something that we can give and receive, and it doesn't necessarily have any attachment to being dominant or submissive or a top or a bottom, how does service dynamics work? Like, how do those relationships work? Can you just have a strictly service dynamic?
Oh, absolutely. Just like you can have just a play partner who you only see at parties and hit you with a flogger, and that's all you do. You can set the parameters of the relationship however you want it to be and what's best for you. So you could have someone that you just clean their house and then leave, and that's it, if that's what you want to do.
But it sounds like you're saying that there's no right way to do things.
There's no right way to do things. do it how you want to do it, and don't listen to what the internet tells you to do.
But wait, like,
yeah, yeah, yeah. It's the context that's important, not the label.
Wait. Oh, having external confirmation of the shit that we talk about on our podcast is a little bit uncomfortable for us. So give us a second.
Just make sure you all have the same dictionary.
Yeah. The one with pictures, right?
That's right.
That's Pictionary.
Because I'm kind of slow sometimes. And I'm a visual learner. That's actually just a horrible joke because I'm not. I'm not a visual learner at all. But yeah, I mean, you could have a relationship that's only service-based if that's what you want. Having said all of that, though, I'm always kind of weird about limiting relationships.
Yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
Their potential. Like, I don't, like, I'm not super comfortable saying, I'm only going to clean your house and I promise to never have feelings for you ever in my whole life. Like, I don't think that's very realistic.
Yeah.
You just have to be able to have those conversations with people. You have to be able to communicate with your partner.
I think that, like, a lot of how we do relationships, whether they're lowercase r or capital R relationships, like, are because all of us are that person, you know, who can never say, like, yeah, we'll just be friends who go get a drink every once in a while. We're never going to make out.
Never.
Or, like,
never,
we're
ever.
Just friends who will make out at a party once in a while. We're not going to fall in love. Like, you know, I think that the way that we all do relationships is because we're not people who say we're always going to be this and never going to be that, right?
I think the important thing is, you know, to just have the ability to say, I recognize that this is always out there and a thing that could happen. And let's agree to have a conversation when that comes up and agree to be honest about it when it does. And just talk about it and see where we are and check in.
Yeah, just my, like, personal experience with really service acts and really service-oriented relationships. Like, I've only ever had experience with seeking a person for a one or occasional thing for a specific, very servicey thing.
Like, you know, a temporary scenario.
Yeah, I've sought, like, a boot black to fix up my boots every once in a while, you know, and never really the same person, just sort of a general call, like, hey, my boots are kind of fucked up. Like, I'm looking for somebody who can take care of that thing, you know? You mentioned, like, cigar service, and we had a kind of a class here on cigar service a while ago, and that is my biggest exposure to that. Like, I smoke a pipe. It would be kind of neat if, like, having a person, like, clean my pipes and, like, teaching someone how to pack my pipes and that kind of stuff. But also it'd be a little bit of a pain in the ass, so it's not like something that I would seek on a long-term basis. It would just be kind of neat.
Attention, internet, Max is seeking somebody to pack his pipes.
Pack my pipe. Yeah. I've actually thought about, like, teaching the laborers at work how to pack my pipe so I don't have to leave the wall to go do that.
I'm pretty sure there's a movie out there called The Laborer Packed My Pipe.
Yeah. But anyway. Yeah.
You're saying you might enjoy that if the opportunity arose, but it's not really something that, like, you want to be invested in a relationship to accomplish.
Right. I mean, you know, I've every time these kinds of relationships come up, I talk about how it seems kind of exhausting to me, you know, to have that full-time kind of relationship.
It is, though, because receiving service is a skill that takes effort.
Mm-hmm. Right.
As well. So that's something a lot of folks forget about, that you have to be in.
Yeah, I have trouble with that, actually. I get frustrated with it and would rather just do it myself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we do. We know people. We have all of us, including you, Jen. Like, we all have, like, close friends who have those relationships. And once we've kind of been around for a while and know what goes into it, like, there are people. This is going to be kind of fucked up to say, but, like, there are people that I know, that we know all, that I don't, like, personally respect as a person, but, like, I do see this thing they are able to do, and I'm like, oh, that's something I could not do.
Mm-hmm.
I could not be that kind of full-time top. I can respect their ability to do that thing.
It's a
Now I'm like,
huge amount of dedication.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, we'll talk about it later.
Excuse me, I'm going to need to sip my tea now.
Some hot tea.
And she was doing it an awful lot like the Kermit sipping the tea meme.
Yes, I just sip my drink like that, straight up.
Oh my. Well, so Jenny, is there anything else that we need to know about service before we go out into the world and serve others? Or be served?
I don't know. Get served.
You got served.
Got served.
Oh, that's what we're calling this episode. A full podcast without that joke coming up.
We almost made it. Nope.
I'd say talk to your partner.
Yep.
It doesn't have to be selfless. Aftercare is a thing.
Hmm.
Have fun. It's supposed to be fun, right? I mean, it's not supposed to be.
Yeah.
I mean, it might be hard work, but it's also supposed to be fun. So don't do it if it's not fun. Yeah.
And aftercare goes both ways.
Yeah.
Like, that's a thing that we, all of us, forget a lot. Like, sometimes the top needs aftercare too. Like, aftercare goes both ways.
Even with something as simple as, you know, having someone clean your house. Maybe they did it wrong the entire time and you're about to choke them to death. Like, you might need some aftercare. Calm down. Like, that's a legitimate thing. Like, as funny as it is, it might drive you crazy to have someone else do it wrong all day. So,
yeah, that's a very good point. Thank you. No, I'm serious. Like, yeah, thank you for saying that.
I will reframe how I come home from work now.
And you'll clean my house better.
That's right.
So Eric, when you come home from work, you're going to be nicer to yourself about how you've been lounging around your apartment all day?
No, I mean when I come home from work and everybody's been doing it wrong the whole day, that I can apply aftercare to myself for that.
With a drink.
I just chimed in because everybody else was saying, oh, and I didn't want to be left out.
Well, Jenny, thank you so much for being on the podcast with us tonight. It was nice to get to talk to you.
Thanks for inviting me.
Absolutely. Thank you for coming on. Is there anything that you want to plug or share with the world?
Nope.
All right.
Was not prepared for that question.
Word.
It's a podcast. You have to plug things.
Oh, can I say hi to my friends on my home Discord server? Hi, Yes Miss Server.
Yay. Oh, I'm going to talk to the Yes Miss Server tomorrow.
You are talking to the Yes Miss Server tomorrow. I'm very excited. They are ridiculously excited.
Oh, I was bouncing and I just got the please don't bounce hand signal.
Because the couch squeak is going to be on the recording.
Yeah, you're creating more work.
Evidence
for
of the bounce.
I don't mind my own work. I like serving myself.
That joke is.
I'm so glad y'all make cultural references that I understand. It makes me feel less old.
You're welcome that we are also old.
I appreciate your oldness.
We do it just for you. All right. So I don't know how, like, these recordings save. So I'm going to hit the stop recording button.
And nobody do anything.
Don't hang up just yet.
Okay.
Just in case, because I'm scared. But yeah, again, thank you so much. And I will talk to everybody next week. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Pod Cultcast with your hosts, Max, Chasten, Hannah, and Eric. Our theme music is by Lobo Loco. Our break music is by Pale Blue with Gabarino. You can find episode show notes, social media, and contact information at podpodcultcast.com. Our podcast is brought to you by our supporters on patreon.com/podpodcultcast. Thanks for listening.